This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And half the country is still going to believe in a fundamental way that we have become a systemically racist nation. And the other half of the country is going to believe in a fundamental way that social media and the mainstream media have colluded with one party to help control the narrative. And those two things aren't going to go away just because Donald Trump went back to Florida. We're going to wake up tomorrow morning and we're going to have to look at each other straight in the face through the lens of this pandemic and deal with that, which is why I don't think a political solution is going to be enough. We've got to look for leaders in places we typically don't find them,
right?
And we have to look for examples in places where we don't expect to discover them.
That was Mike Rowe last night on Fox News Primetime, the new evening show that this week was hosted by Brian Kilmeade, saying some things that I think are incredibly full of common sense. And the interesting thing there that he suggested is that our current, career generational political leaders maybe might not be the people who are going to solve all of our problems and, yes, get us to that desired word of unity. Maybe Tyrus knows how to get us to unity.
You're becoming like my most stable relationship.
Enough said.
Tyrus is a Fox News contributor, host of Enough Said on Fox Nation. You can become a subscriber at foxnation.com. Tyrus, you're an emanator of common sense and giving it to people straight. And, you know, this delusions of the idea of demanding unity and hoping that you get it, it's probably not going to happen. But what does this country need to do to get anywhere near the place where we can look across the aisle and not just absolutely hate each other?
I think the biggest thing is for all of us to get back to our lives. I think the one thing that we've had with President Trump was a transparency to where we could see literally the inner workings of the government on a daily basis. Well, obviously, we're not going to have that anymore, and maybe that's a good thing. I don't know, but we can get back to our lives. We can get back to during the ceasefire, because the media is going to still want those ratings. They're going to want those Trump ratings. So I'm sure the president, they're not done with him yet. I'm sure they'll be continually bringing his name up. But I think it's important for all of us to get back to what we were doing. It is what it is. It's a fresh start. We reset. I always, kind of just take it in stride and, you just deal with one event as it happens. You take it one step at a time and you don't get into, there's no giant fix. It's just one day at a time. Everyone's got to take a deep breath and go, okay, it went my way, or okay, it didn't go my way, but what am I going to do to improve my family's life and get back to being focused on self, I think.
Tyrus, you mentioned the transparency of the last, well, I don't even want to say administration, at least of the guy. The guy at the top was a very transparent guy. A lot of people didn't like that. A lot of people did. Do you think that that's something that we should strive for in the future, even if it's not in the style of Trump? Should we strive to get that kind of transparency from our leaders?
I think we should demand it, honestly. I mean, the one thing that President Trump did, whether you love him or hate him, is that he let everyone know what was going on, good, bad, or indifferent. And so it was kind of like, as he made his way through government and being a part of that machine at the highest level and never holding office before, we were kind of learning with him, I think. A lot of us who, like, you know, it's my job to research things and know, but at the same time, you learn things, you see things, you get to get a better, I think we have a better understanding of how the House and the Senate work. I think we can kind of see, wow, like we've been hoodwinked and tricked by career politicians in the Senate and the House. And we see how much influence they really have and how much they can affect the country. Whereas before, everything kind of fell on the president's shoulders, and you never really saw the inner workings of the Mitch McConnells and the Pelosi's, and you never really saw all that stuff. And President Trump brought all that stuff to light, to where we're like, now we're looking at Senate races and houses different, I think, across America, because they've done a really good job of putting up the Wizard of Oz curtain. Like, don't look at what's going on back here. Just focus on what we're putting in front of a podium, you know. And when President Trump would circumvent them by using the old Twitter gauge or another way to get word out to the people, I think it changed things for the good because we're more aware. Mm-hmm. And you can take that away from him if you want to, but nobody was paying attention to politics before President Trump got into it. He changed things. He changed the way America looks at politics. And that's there's no executive order to switch that.
You know, so much of what we do in politics right now is just, you know, you put your red or blue jersey on in the morning, and I was listening to something that Tucker said last night, and he said, you know, essentially you can just take in what the media says about something that happened that day and never actually hear the actual event, you know, from the source. And to take, we're never forced to react to the news of the day, you know, to hear it and react for the first time for ourselves. There's so many people willing to do the thinking for us. Certainly the politicians, yeah. A lot of people in the media. I don't really know that we're headed in a direction where people are going to be forced to think more for themselves than they have in the past. But your point about Congress is so key, because we just had a caller say, you know, of course, Biden's coming in and undoing right now so much of what Trump did with executive orders, but Trump unexecutive ordered a bunch of Obama executive orders. And in the midst of this, the lawmakers aren't making laws. They get off the hook every 2 years, every 4 years, every 6 years.
Yep.
The spotlight being on the administration compared to the easy street that Congress is living on right now, that's where our emphasis likely should be.
Yeah, we should be raising a lot of questions. You know, here's a perfect example. I put a lot of weight on the way this election went with the Supreme Court pick. I feel if Mitch McConnell was not so quick at trying to steal his pick, I think that would have made a difference in voting. I think if the Supreme pick would have been online, you would have seen even more excited Republican Party. And I think that little split, you know, I mean, let's just be frank. I don't think any president was going to survive coronavirus. I just don't think. It's just one of those things where, of course, the people coming from the outside sound better and have a better plan, and they're more soothing because they're not in it. But now they're in it, and like I put in a post yesterday, the world is watching, but more importantly, America's watching. And you've got everything you asked for. You have the Senate, you have the House, and you have the Oval Office. So, wow, I can't wait to see all this stuff that goes down, because we got a list of things that need to get done. Yeah, so who are you going to blame?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, actually. You mentioned coronavirus, and, you know, that's not the only issue. There's quite a bit going on this year to deal with, of course, as we all know. But now those things fall upon a new administration. Do you think that Joe Biden and the Biden administration is going to do a lot different from what Trump was going to do? Or are they basically going to do the same thing and just get media kind of coverage for it?
I think they're going to have the same problem that the president had, and the same problem that the president before him had. Except the Senate and the House are only going to do what they want to do. And, you know, instead of being, you know, like, here's something that it used to be, and they don't do it anymore, is when a president wins kind of his first 100 days, you kind of give him what you want. You know, you work together, they won the election, you know, and you should run his programs. You should give him what he wants in the first 100 days. And then you can start picking apart, complaining about everything. You know, it should be bipartisan. You know, the people spoke, but we saw with President Trump, it was literally the day he was in, they were trying to get him out. So there was not going to be anything like that. Everything he did, they fought him on. Everything he did was wrong. And now we're going to find, especially with the pandemic still here, we're in the same situation where there's a wave coming from South America that's trying to come into the country during a pandemic. And now it's going to be how the media is going to, of course, they're going to swing it a different way, opposed to the tough decision that we can't let you come in the country. You could be infecting. You know, it's going to be the same thing. And are they going to turn the cameras away when people are locked up? Are they going to, are they going to try to spin? Like, the spin will be phenomenal, but again, I think the whole world is, the spin doesn't work anymore. I think when people start saying things now, people are looking it up. Like, well, let's see. Let me Google that. Let me see how actual that is. I mean, they didn't even take time to research when they would go after the president. They just show pictures of cages, and they were like, yeah, that's from the Obama administration. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how, when they get hit with the same exact problems and with the same results, how they're going to swing it. So is it going to be that Joe Biden, with his 40-plus years of service or something like that, is not able to get the job done? Or is it a lot tougher than they thought it was going to be? Because we're going to have a lot of problems, and let's not also be fooling ourselves that it's not going to be Republicans and Democrats that are going to be doing most of the fighting. It's socialist Democrats, progressive Democrats, and moderate Democrats fighting to see who's running the show. So it's going to be tough, I think.
Yeah.
I always try to be optimistic, and I always hope for the best, but I really feel like, the cop out's going to be President Trump, but it's not going to change the problems that we have. The only difference is that you kind of knew where you stood with President Trump in terms of what was going on, whether you liked the way he handled it or you didn't like the way he handled it, or the way he said it or not said it, you knew it. And now we're going to get back to we just tell you what we feel you want to know, and that's not going to work.
Real quick, I only have about a minute left, Tyrus, but so much of the media reaction, on your CNNs and MSNBCs yesterday to what was going on, we're talking about, like, this was medicine for an open wound to have Joe Biden speaking, as if the only thing that matters for the president of the United States is to make you feel good. The politicians who know exactly what to say and how to say it, those are the scariest politicians to me.
Yeah, the guy who smiles in your face and tells you that he thanks you for his support. And then in the same sentence, when you turn around, they're taking your house or foreclosing on your house loan because of aggressive loans. Like, it's always the same thing. There's no nation healing. People had real problems in this country. We've lost loved ones. If you're dealing with COVID, cancer, crime, unemployment, like, we got real problems at home that we're trying to fight through. And, old Uncle Joe telling you of warm, fuzzy stories not going to make it better. And if that's their approach, if that's what they want to do, they want to start this, things are going to be so much better because he plays the sounds of birds tweeting when he gives you a speech telling you that we're going to be in another recession, you keep the birds. Just tell me like it is. And
I'm a grown
be
person.
Honest. I'd rather just be honest, but we'll see. Like I said, I think I'm hopeful, I'm optimistic, but I just feel like we're just not learning from our mistakes.
Yeah, I'm with you on the trying to be optimistic thing, but it's an effort. It's not, for me, it's not something that's coming natural. It's something I'm forcing myself to try to do.
I was optimistic. I was optimistic when President Trump was sworn in, and I'll be optimistic when President Biden's sworn in. But I don't feel like we're coming. I think, considering the events of the year of 2020, we are all in a good place still.
Yeah.
I don't feel like it's Armageddon out here. I feel like we're in a good place. Vaccines are coming, and all the fighting should be done for now. Should be. They got what they wanted.
Yeah.
But you'll be surprised.
Will we? Cyrus, I appreciate you coming on here. It's going to be an interesting storyline to follow. Certainly very different than what we've been talking about for the last 4 years, but we're always grateful that you're part of our conversation.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Of course. We'll talk to you soon. Tyrus, host of Nuff Said on Fox Nation. Subscribe at foxnation.com. And also Fox News contributor. He's part of the Greg Gutfeld Show. And he is somebody who usually brings his own thoughts and opinions that I haven't heard other people talking about. That's why I like having him on the show. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back with more a reaction to the week and maybe a little fun stuff. I have a Cosmic Brownie Gate update that I would like to give
please.
You.
Oh, nice.
So yes. If you want to stick around for that, I got busted yesterday because even though I sent my husband an SOS or an SOCB, we blew it. So I'll tell you that story because we rectified the situation, but I got called out by my four-year-old last night, so stick around. That when we come back and more Andy Fry Show. Don't go away. I just said, I don't want to come back. I'm eating pistachios. She said, I'm turning you on anyway. How inconsiderate of the listening audience who's going to have to sit here and listen to me crack nuts.
Crunch.
I won't do that.
Crunch.
I turn my mic down when I do. Seriously. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to give you an update on Cosmic Brownie Gate. This is something that I, as a parent, am ashamed of, but I'm telling you this, and I'll reset the story for you who are like, what did she say is going on? This is not something taking place in our national media. This is a scandal within my own household that I created. So my youngest, well, all three of my kids at Sunday school this past weekend got cosmic brownies. I don't know why. Seems like a good bribe to me. If I knew they were giving out cosmic brownies, I'd probably go to four-year-old Sunday school too. So they come home with these cosmic brownies. They put them on the counter and they were sitting in the fruit bowl, ironically. And what was it? I guess Tuesday or so. I think it was Tuesday. I was feeling, I get nauseous in the middle of the day and I had to run upstairs and get something to eat just to keep me calm for the rest of the show so that I don't have an event while I'm on the air, which is maybe possibly the most horrifying thing that I can think of experiencing, is getting sick on the air, having a gotta go to break moment. And I don't want that to happen, especially since you can watch the show on Facebook, facebook.com/AndyFryShow or the Andy Fry YouTube channel. That is a terrible listener viewer experience if I were to get physically ill on the air. So I ran upstairs. It was like halfway through the break, so I didn't really have any time to make some toast or something. And I saw my daughter's cosmic brownie. Well, earlier I had said to my kids playfully, oh, I thought my favorite child was going to share their cosmic brownie with me. And the two older ones were like, oh, we already ate ours. And my youngest, my four-year-old, runs to the counter. She says, no worries, mommy, no worries, no worries. And she picked it up and she indicated she would share it with me. But we weren't going to eat it then. So when I ran upstairs just the other day, and I needed something fast, I saw the cosmic brownie and I ate it. And like any good parent who steals their child's candy or treats or cash that they got for their birthday, you replace it before they know that you did that. And nobody's ever hurt by that. Nobody knows.
Mm-hmm.
It's your right as parents. You're paying for the electricity and the water and the sewage. You can take a cosmic brownie. If you replace it, heck, I could make the case you could just take the cosmic brownie.
If a cosmic brownie is eaten and no one is around to see it,
blame dad. So I thought, I'm just going to eat this. So I immediately come downstairs, took a bite of it so I could get back on the air and not have my morning/all-day sickness event on the Andy Fry Show live. This is a way to get you to watch the Andy Fry Show or not to watch the Andy Fry Show. It's up to you, really. And I messaged my husband right away, and I wrote him, and I just said, feeling sick, ate Evelyn's cosmic brownie, need to replace before she gets home.
ASAP.
So he goes, no problem, got it. So the idea was, you go, because they sell them individually, like aren't all these Hostess cakes or whatever, they sell them individually at gas stations. You go in, you pay $1.29, or I don't know, maybe it's 25 cents, I don't know how much they cost. You get it, you put it right back where the other one was, and nobody knows the difference. He forgot. I forgot to follow up on it. And yesterday, after the show got over, I was sitting downstairs doing some work till about 10 to 4. And all of a sudden I hear crying, sobbing coming from upstairs. And it's as a parent, when you hear crying, if it follows a thud, then you literally physically drop anything you're doing. It does. And you explode. It's the fastest you move as a middle-aged parent, really, is the, that's when you run. If you hear a thud and then you don't hear anything at all, you will run too. If you hear a thud and then you hear some rustling around, then that's when it's okay. Like, are they unconscious or are they in great pain and they're screaming? Those are the two that get you moving. We hear this crying and so we stop talking for a minute and all we could make out in the crying was, my cosmic brownie is gone! And I just looked at Jared and I was like, did you not replace that? He's like, no, I forgot to replace it. And I'm like, well, now we gotta go replace it. So I went upstairs And I had to like sit on the chair next to her because she was like so sweet about wanting to share it with me in the first place. So sweet and generous. And she is, she's the type of person who you're like, hey, you want to share your brownie with me? She'll be like, sure, Mom, let's share it. Like, it's weirdly positive. Where most kids, I would expect to be like, no, I don't want to share my brownie with you. I don't want to eat my brownie. She's just, we say she's extra. There's something about Evelyn that's just a little bit extra. And if you know her, you know. But I sat down and I felt so guilty. And I just sat next to her and I said, Evelyn, I need you to know that the other day I wasn't feeling well. And I ate your cosmic brownie. And she was like, it's gone. I was like, I am so sorry. So now I would like to take you on a cosmic brownie scavenger hunt.
Yes.
And she immediately stopped crying. And she looked at me with the biggest eyes and she was like, yes, let's go do that.
Yes.
So we immediately got in the car and went to Walmart because I was thinking about stopping at Walgreens and I didn't know if they'd have them. Went to Walmart, walked through. I didn't know where to find them. They're in the bakery if you're looking for those types of treats. Hmm. I went to the snack aisle. I thought they'd be in the snack aisle.
Yeah.
And then they weren't there. So then I went into like the cake treat baking aisle thinking I wouldn't put them there, but maybe that's where they are. And I'd pretty much given up and I was just walking in Walmart. And then I saw the bakery and that's where they were. And when we walked up and saw this big box of cosmic brownies, she was more happy than she would have ever been.
Yes.
With the OG cosmic brownie. So I made good. And I still feel guilty for stealing it. But if I could have replaced it before she would have known, then none of this would have happened.
Remember when life was that simple?
Yeah, yesterday. It was, I think it was the break that I needed in the midst of an inauguration day. Like, these are the real problems that I'm actually trying to solve. Like, this was an actual problem that I needed to solve yesterday while I'm getting yelled at by people on the left to unify or to shut up about unity. There's really a lot of mixed messages. Mm-hmm. You ever stolen anything from your kids, Ryan?
Oh my gosh, are you kidding? I think I've probably done it this morning. I
mean, have you ever replaced what you stole so that they wouldn't catch you?
No, I'm actually pretty smart about it, even though I don't intend to be. I think I'm just in the pattern of being smart about it, where I know that if
you're
I put serial something...
thief.
Yeah, yeah, right. I must do it enough that it's just
not like a Lucky Charms thief. But
I take
or maybe
something that they may leave out that I know that I want, and I will just put it away. Like, I'm being nice, like, oh, Dad will put it away for you. But what I know that I'm doing is I'm putting it in the cupboard so they don't see it. So then after a couple of days, they can be like, well, they must not actually want it. And then
you
it's
forgot
mine.
About
there's,
it.
There's like a waiting period where it's out of sight, out of mind, literally. And if you just put your stuff away, you would know.
Exactly. I do have a question for you, Annie, with the cosmic brownie thing. So I'm in the store the other day, and I have a Christmas gift here for you that I intend to bring to you tomorrow, but here it is the 21st of January and you still haven't gotten it, so don't hold your breath. But
I won't hold my breath.
I was in the store the other day and I saw all the Little Debbie treats and I went, oh, you know what I should do is just add a box of cosmic brownies to Annie's present since I haven't given it to her yet.
It would have, if we would be well, we even got the big box. There was a smaller box and there was a big box, and I grabbed the big box first and then realized on the next shelf was like the normal size box. And I was like, well, I'm not taking that out of her hands now. I'm going to cosmic brownies for everybody.
Yeah. So I checked myself because I thought, well, she just told a story about cosmic brownies. She was saying she was nauseous. She needed something to eat. That doesn't necessarily mean she's partial to cosmic brownie above all other Little Debbie treats. So I had to ask, what is your favorite Little Debbie treat? Cause I almost got you unicorn cupcakes or something else just to be fun, but I was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do here.
Zebra cakes might be the thing that, or the crunch. It's chocolate.
Oh, yeah. Star crunch. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Those are really good too. I remember Little Debbie. I had two parents who worked full time and they were very hardworking people. And as being in a family now with three kids and one on the way and two working people as the parents, there are things that you want to do as parents that you can't actually pull off as parents. And there is a point in your life where you will judge yourself hard for not being that parent. Pinterest is a real B about moms feel inferior. But then there's this glorious point along the timeline of being a parent where you're like, I don't want to make that. I'm going to go buy Little Debbie's and I'm going to buy Cosmic Brownies and I am going to save the day for my kid's birthday and it's going to be the best thing ever. And if I slaved over these cupcakes that I want to look like they look like on Pinterest, they're not going to look like they look on Pinterest. Let's just be honest. I'm going to be stressed getting them done. I'm going to be stressed when I finish them and they don't look right. And these kids don't care at all. They will be as happy with a Cosmic Brownie as they will with some kind of homemade cupcake for me. So I remember being in my son's, he's my oldest, like three-year-old preschool class. I went for the Valentine's party. And Katie, you might be able to imagine this, but I like was standing up against the counter with wide eyes and I was just horrified. Because they're like making these, you know, you make for Valentine's Day, you cut out the heart in red construction paper and then you take pink, you make legs for the heart, but you crimp them so that they like bounce. Mm-hmm. And same thing with the arms. They're making this and the kids don't care. The kids are not interested at all in what they're doing. They're like, give me those ugly tail cupcakes. I would like to smash them in my face right now. Mm-hmm. And all the parents are like, you need to do this. Like the parents want it so bad for the kids and the kids are picking their nose and playing tag. Like, and they're having the time of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching that. I could go back to that day like it was yesterday and saying to myself, I don't think I'm one of these people. And I am grateful for those people. I am grateful for the moms who dedicate themselves to being room mothers, who put the effort and the emphasis in on those details. And I will Venmo you the money that you need. I will drop off the supplies that you need to make that happen. I am not one of those people. Like the moment where there's a point as a parent, you don't realize the things that you're going to have to come to grips with about yourself, about who you are and who you're not, until they smack you in the face. And you realize that who you thought you wanted to be, like this image. I mean, marriage is the same way. The thing you thought it was going to be, it's not. And in many cases, when you come to that realization, it makes it so much better. Katie, you ever steal David's food?
No, I haven't. But I'm sure David has stolen my food. I know he has.
Listen to you.
But I haven't. So I am a good. I'm a good person. I've never stolen.
Wait a second. What are you saying?
As opposed to me.
To you two.
I have my Cosmic Brownie now in my hand that I got from yesterday because I have a whole box of them. Nutty bars.
Those are great.
Did we get
oatmeal cream pie?
Did I get my answer as to what your favorite Little Debbie is?
Well, I think Cosmic Brownies are definitely tops. I don't know. I don't eat them very much, but like as a kid, it was the coolest thing ever. But like the zebra cakes or any holiday version, the Christmas tree cakes or the heart cakes that are all basically the white chocolate icing with the white cake, those are super good.
All right, fine. You're going to get some expired pretzels with some icing on them.
Because that's what she said.
How about I pay that forward to you and give that to you from me, from you, for your birthday, which is this year.
So I should go to the store and buy myself something is what you're saying?
Yes.
I'll Venmo you the money. We'll be right back.
That would be a crime to provoke somebody to incite them to violence. Show me the clip where you did that. What I would say about Senator McConnell, that I think he has been a good leader. He's a great street fighter. I think he'll be a challenge for Schumer. But he is, in my view, giving some legitimacy to this impeachment process that I think is wrong. They impeached the president of the House in 24 hours without a lawyer and without one witness. Now, is that what we're going to become as a country? I hope not.
Are you familiar with Pirates of the Caribbean, the series?
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Trust me, I'm going somewhere with this. You know the part in Pirates of the Caribbean where Keira Knightley, I don't know, it's towards the end, and she's gets back on maybe the Black Pearl, and she says to Orlando Bloom, about Johnny Depp, which side is he on?
Mm-hmm.
And Orlando Bloom's answer is, right now? I'm having a hard time with Lindsey Graham trying to figure out. Either he is more complicated and individualistic in his approach to his politics and where he's going to support and how he's going to support. I don't want to say that he's flip-flopping on the side that he's on, but he's been, especially in the last maybe 3 or 4 weeks, it's hard to tell what Lindsey Graham is trying to achieve on any given day at any given minute. And the idea that Mitch McConnell is providing some legitimacy to this impeachment process is accurate. It's true. Is Joe Biden speaking right now about COVID? Mm-hmm. Can we listen into what he's saying here,
sure,
real quick? This is happening live right now. President Biden speaking about the COVID response. Let's just dip in and see.
Tony Fauci, our chief COVID medical advisor, Javier Becerra, excuse me, our nominee for Secretary of Health and Human Services, Dr. Vivek Murthy, our nominee for Surgeon General, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, she's going to be the director for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and Dr. Marcella Nunez-Smith, who will be leading our equity work and the COVID response, and Jeff Zients and Natalie Quillen, who are managing this whole effort. Yesterday, during my inaugural address, I offered a salient prayer and a silent prayer. It was both salient and silent. I thought it was important that people understand what had happened, that we all pay tribute to our prayers for those 400,000 Americans who've lost their lives in this pandemic. On Tuesday, Jill and I, Kamala and Doug, we stood at the reflecting pool in front of the Lincoln Memorial and joined Americans all across the country to remember those 400,000 moms and dads, husbands and wives, children, sons, daughters. And I said at that moment that to heal, we must remember. To heal, we must remember. It's important to do that as a nation. We must also act, though, not just remember. Yet for the past year, we couldn't rely on the federal government to act with the urgency and focus and coordination we needed. And we have seen the tragic cost of that failure. 3,000 to 4,000 deaths per day. To date, more than 24 million Americans have been infected. To put that in context, America makes up 4% of the world's population, but 25% of the world's confirmed COVID-19 cases and only 20% of all the COVID-19 deaths, when we have 4% of the world's population. The pandemic has disproportionately impacted on Blacks, Latinos, and Native Americans, who are about 4 times as likely to be hospitalized and nearly 3 times more likely to die from the COVID-19 pandemic than white Americans. Hospitals are out of beds. Businesses are closed for good. Schools are caught in between. And while the vaccines provide so much hope, the rollout has been a dismal failure thus far. So, I understand the despair and frustration of so many Americans and how they're feeling. I understand why many governors, mayors, county officials, tribal leaders feel like they're left on their own without a clear national plan to get them through the crisis. Let me be very clear. Things are going to continue to get worse before they get better. The memorial we held 2 nights ago will not be our last one, unfortunately. The death toll will likely top 500,000 next month. The cases will continue to mount. We didn't get into this mess overnight, and it's going to take months for us to turn things around. But let me be equally clear. We will get through this. We will defeat this pandemic. And to a nation waiting for action, let me be the clearest on this point. Help is on the way. Today, I am unveiling a national strategy on COVID-19 and executive actions to beat this pandemic. This plan reflects the ideas I set forward during the campaign and further refined over the past 3 months. It consists of my transitions teams, the task force, Tony Fauci and the team here today and other experts put this plan together. Our national strategy is comprehensive. It's based on science, not politics. It's based on truth, not denial, and it's detailed. You can review this entire plan, by going to whitehouse.gov. It is so detailed, it is over 198 pages in complete detail what we're going to do. Our plan starts with mounting an aggressive, safe, and effective vaccination campaign to meet our goal of administering 100 million shots in our first 100 days in office. We're on day one. This will be one of the greatest operational challenges our nation has ever undertaken. And I'm committed to getting it done. We're committed to getting it done. And as I explained last week, we'll move heaven and earth to get more people vaccinated for free and create more places for them to get vaccinated, to mobilize more medical teams to get shots in people's arms, and to increase vaccine supply and get it out the door as fast as possible. Yesterday, we got started. We directed the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, to start standing up the first federally supported community vaccination centers with the goal of standing up 100 centers within the next month. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention will launch the federal pharmacy program to make vaccines available to communities in their local pharmacies beginning early within the, I think, by the 7th or 8th of February, but in very early February. We'll also task the Department of Health and Human Services to prepare and expand the pool of medical professionals who can administer the vaccine, and to ensure we have enough vaccinators, the people doing the vaccines, to meet the nation's needs and quickly. In addition to this effort, our administration will be asking Congress to fund the funds to grow the public health workforce. We also are going to take immediate steps to partner with governors, mayors, and other local officials who we've been talking to all along, who are on the front lines of this fight. We directed FEMA to establish a COVID response liaison for each state, which means every state will have a point person at the federal level to maximize cooperation between the federal government and the states, and where it falls short, to be made known about it, be made known immediately. This is a model we used to respond to Hurricane Sandy, which I was deeply involved with. And in just a few moments, I'm going to sign a declaration to immediately begin reimbursing states 100% for the use of their National Guards to help COVID relief efforts, something Democrats and Republican governors alike have called for. But the brutal truth is, it's going to take months before we can get the majority of Americans vaccinated. So, while we increase vaccinations, we're going to take steps necessary now to slow the spread of the disease as well. One of our 100-day challenges is asking the American people to mask up for the first 100 days, the next 99 days. The mask has become a partisan issue, unfortunately. But it's a patriotic act. But for a few months to wear a mask, no vaccines. The fact is that they're the single best thing we can do. They're even more important than the vaccines because they take time to work. And if we do this as Americans, the experts say by wearing a mask from now until April, we'd save more than 50,000 lives going forward. 50,000 lives. So I'm asking every American to mask up for the next 100 days. Yesterday, I signed an executive action that requires masks and social distancing on federal property. Today, we'll be signing an additional executive action to extend masking requirements on interstate travel, like on trains, planes, and buses. And in light of the new COVID variants that you're learning about, we are instituting now a new measure for individuals flying into the United States from other countries. In addition to wearing masks, everyone flying to the United States from another country will need to test before they get on that plane, before they depart, and quarantine when they arrive in America. Our national plan launches a full-scale wartime effort to address the supply shortages by ramping up production and protective equipment, syringes, needles, you name it. And when I say wartime, people kind of look at me like, wartime? Well, as I said last night, 400,000 Americans have died. That's more than have died in all of World War II. 400,000. And this is a wartime undertaking. Today, I'm signing an executive action to use the Defense Production Act and all other available authorities to direct all federal agencies and private industry to accelerate the making of everything that's needed to protect, test, vaccinate, and take care of our people. We've already identified suppliers, and we're working with them to move the plan forward. Now look, our strategy includes a plan to safely reopen schools and businesses while protecting our workers. Today, we're directing the Department of Education and the Department of Health and Human Services to immediately provide schools and communities with clear guidance and resources to safely reopen the schools and child care centers. We're putting, and by the way, when you do that, think of all the people who can get back to work, be able to get back to work, all the mothers and single fathers are staying home taking care of their children. We're going to put the full force of the federal government behind expanding testing by launching a COVID-19 pandemic testing board. This effort will ensure that we get testing to where it is needed and where it's needed most, helping schools and businesses reopen safely and protecting the most vulnerable, like those who live in long-term care facilities. And for the millions of workers, many of whom are people of color, immigrants, and low-wage workers, who continue to put their lives on the line to keep this country going through the pandemic, I'm calling for the enforcement of a more stringent worker safety standards so that you are better protected from this virus while you have to continue to work to protect the rest of us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.